Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just, I felt so emotional, man, just thinking of what Jesus has accomplished, eh? Yeah, he's done more than any human person, leader could ever do, eh? And then he says, come follow me and be like me and do what I've done. And just like I laid down my life for you, come and lay down your lives for one another. And I wanted to just open up with a little short word from the scripture and encouragement for us that I really felt last week. Mike Voss preached so well on Colossians 3, and I wanted to read a couple of verses before that and after what he shared on, because it's such a powerful thing that he says. And so we've been looking at this scripture. I'm going to read it for all of us so that we're all on the same page. And then I want to read a few scriptures before it and after it and try and be quick. Okay, so Colossians 3 verse 11. Colossians 3 verse 11. Let's just read this together. Look at this. So this is a picture of the kingdom, okay? We might come from different backgrounds and different histories and different cultures and all of that, but we belong to one kingdom, where there is only one king, Jesus, okay? Oh, by the way, sorry, Sunday, I forgot again. If anyone needs the bathroom, it's not here in this little courtyard quad, just around the corner. There's signs and the bathroom's that side, okay? Just for the people that don't know our venue, okay? Cool. And just so you know, as much as we celebrate being together this morning, it's also a time where we want to be equipped with the Word of God, okay? And so that's why we wanted to lift up the Word of God this morning and actually preach a bit, even though we could just worship and eat together and we would have an amazing time. But we want to be equipped this morning as well, okay, and delve into God's Scripture. So listen to the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom looks like. It says, here there is no Greek or Jew. That's Gentiles and Jews. They were very separate from one another. Generally, they were taught for hundreds of years to remain apart and away from each other, okay? That's like crazy separation. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all as and is in all, okay? In other words, like Mike said last week, you know, there were in those days, there were those that considered themselves civilized. There was those that were like barbarian kind of Germanic tribes from the middle of Europe that everyone was afraid of and thought they were kind of like almost like animals and would hold at arm's length. There were those that were slaves, and slaves in those days were treated so badly, like a horse had more rights than a slave. You would treat your animals better than you would treat a slave often, you know. And here in the kingdom, in God's church, when they come together, he says, guys, here in Colossae, the city, when you come together, when you're saved, when you're part of the kingdom, there's no longer any divides. Now, this is a big deal, okay? Because generally, we're scared of what is different from us, okay? So if I walk into a room and everyone in that room is a surfer, they all surf, they all love waves and they use weird slang and lingo and hold signs and stuff, that I feel uncomfortable in that room. I've learned to try and, you know, get by because I'm part of Josh Jen and Andrew is our leader, but it's uncomfortable for me. And I've got to learn in a room like that to go out of my way to walk across the room and make conversation, okay? And it's like that for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're from this, you know, the same ethnic group or the same background even. We are all afraid of differences, okay? And so when I've been, you know, Andrew Selly, who leads the 412 partnership, and he's our leader still of this eldership team, he's taught us for years, he's taught us to go, guys, when you get together, make sure you don't just hang out with your friends and the ones you're comfortable with. Make sure you get up, you go across the room, you make conversations with those that you don't know, that you're a bit afraid of, that maybe you don't even like that much, because that's part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, you're not supposed to exist in your little bubble. You're supposed to move out and make friends with others and actually deep brotherhood and sisterhood with others and love others. And that's what it looks like. You know, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross and die to yourself. Sometimes, and then you will find life. Sometimes dying to yourself is as simple as that. It's as simple as I'm going to cross the room and we're going to meet people and I'm going to ask them questions about their life. And Andrew used to teach us. He used to say, I know you're scared. If you talk to someone, here's some questions you can ask. You can ask them where they come from, how they're doing, what church they've been part of. You can find out a little bit about their background. This is how you do it. You can tell them a little bit about yourself. And he used to teach us these things. And you almost go, that's so basic. Why would you preach about that? You preach about that because that is sometimes the most important thing to make someone feel welcome, to love them, and to show Jesus. And I want to challenge us this morning, if you don't do that, and if you don't live like that, and if you don't come to church services and gatherings going, who can I talk to? Who can I find? Who can I love? How can I get out of my comfort zone? Then we're missing something of the kingdom. That's how we're supposed to live. Okay, so this is the picture of heaven. But like I was saying now in worship, this is impossible outside of Jesus doing something very deep in our hearts. We can't just make this happen. I can't just teach you how to be friendly. Because you might be friendly on the outside. Oh, hello, welcome. It's so nice to have you. But actually, there's no real love and real connection. And we've all met people like that, right? And that's not nice. You it's got to be deeper than that, okay? And so we're aiming at this. The kingdom looks like this, where there's no differences. We love each other. It doesn't matter. And this is not just about race. This is about, you know, who's got money and who doesn't and which area you live in of Cape Town and, you know, all of that. Okay. So the problem is sin separates. So we can say, well, it's just because we're different and we have a different history. No, no, no. The real problem that separates us from one another is called sin. And when you read the Bible, you don't have to read more than a few pages. You know, you get the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and then their first children, Cain and Abel. So this is one generation. Okay, so not even one generation has passed in the history of mankind, and they are already murdering one another. You just think, how quickly do people go astray? How quickly do people give in to the sin? And you know, sin looks like many different things. It might look like I'm offended with you and with what you've done. It might look like, well, I'm actually just uncomfortable, so I'm selfish. I'll rather just be in my own bubble. It might look like sin might be fear. I'm actually just afraid of you. And you can't, that's not an excuse. We've taught our children from young, if someone says you're shy, say, there's actually, that's not right. You can't just be shy. There's no excuse to not be polite and kind and speak to someone. Because if I taught them, oh, you're just shy, it's fine, you don't have to, then what I'm saying is you can just give in to fear. You can just go down there and not talk to the adult when they talk to you. I've said, no, 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 there's no such thing as shyness. There is such a thing as rudeness, selfishness, and you need to actually speak when you're spoken to. You know what I mean? Don't always get it right. Okay, so don't judge me if you've chatted to my kids and, okay, they're still sinful. So, no, I'm joking. I'm joking. They do well most of the time. You know, sin could be just a lack of love, a lack of I'm actually going to go and love you. And sin could be believing lies about other people. That's all sin. And that's the root of anything, any separation between us. But God's kingdom is different. Jesus says, in my kingdom, we're all one in Christ, okay? So, how do we do this? So, Colossians, in the first part of Colossians, let's just read the first part, verse 1, Colossians 3, verse 1. So this is just before the verse we read earlier. You read this. It says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's what I read in worship, right? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. He says, think about the kingdom to come. Don't get stuck in this world and in the way that the world works. Mike preached about that last week. But look to the kingdom that's coming. Okay, move on. Verse 3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So the first reason that we can get over separation is because Jesus did something for us on the cross. He said, when I die, you die to your old self. And all that old sinful flesh dies and you are now raised to life and you have my life and my love inside of you. Sometimes it feels like it's hidden very deep down, you know. Maybe you had a really bad week and you're stressed out and, you know, the money's not coming in and the job isn't happening and you might be stressed out and you're like, but Jesus' life is there. Our lives are hidden with him. Okay, so the first thing is, it's not something we do. The first thing is something Jesus did first for us, okay? The second thing is something we need to do, though. So listen to this. It says, for you died your life. Next verse, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Just hold there. So it says there is something we need to do. Because all those things, they separate us. Sexual immorality, lust, greed, which is idolatry. All that stuff doesn't just separate us from God. It separates us from one another. It gets in the way of true fellowship and love. And what God says in his scripture, by the Spirit of God, he says, you got to put them to death, okay? He says, put it to death. He doesn't say, try and train your flesh to be better. Try and train it and discipline it only to be a little bit better. You got to put it to death. So here's the deal, guys. A dog, I can train a dog, right? If I've got a dog, I might even be able to train that dog to bring me my shoes, you know? Or I might be able to train that dog to sit, to roll over. I might be able to train that dog like I'm trying to train my dog just to wee outside of the house. Like, that's a big deal for my dog because it's a little bit got some mental issues. Anyway, so it came to us when it was far too young. Shame. So it's got like some psychological issues, separation from its mom and all of that. Anyway, our dog, when it wees outside, we're like, well done. You're such a good girl, Rosie. You know, thank you so much. Anyway, so you can train a dog, but sin is not like that. You can't train sin to be better. You can't keep it just outside because we don't want you in the house, but every now and then I go and play with you, okay? So some people have got other kinds of pets, okay? This is another pet here, like this. Whoa, whoa! Okay, so it's a little bit smaller than I was hoping. Anyway, this is my little... So sin is like having a pet snake. Some people have pet snakes. Do any of you have pet snakes? Anyone here got a pet snake? Are you sure? Why not? They're just beautiful animals. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Hey, no, we... You know, if there's a snake in your house... If you're a normal person, you don't think, hey, I want to train the snake. Because apparently you can train a snake. There's a few things you can train it to do. Apparently you can train a snake to eat prey that is dead and not just live prey. So people that have snakes, they can train that snake by shaking the rat and making it look alive. The snake will eat the rat, okay? So that's kind of like training. You can train a snake to not strike at your hand when you put it into its cage, even poisonous ones. By handling them a lot and playing with them a lot, you can maybe train the snake not to bite at you immediately, okay? You can train a snake to eat food that it doesn't usually eat in the wild. So some snakes only eat like bulldogs and frogs, but you might not have those. All you've got are like mice from the pet shop. So you can train a snake to eat mice from the pet shop, right? But how many of you know you can't train the snake to go fetch your slippers in the morning and your shoes? It's not a great pet. And sin is like that. Sin is, it says, don't just, you know, go to therapy for your sin. Don't just talk about your sin with someone. Don't just keep your sin hidden somewhere. It says, put it to death. You know what I mean? Kill it. It's sin. And when it comes to us, you know, we've got these things that separate us from one another. Like I said, it might not be that list, but it might be just jealousy. It might just be, well, I'm a bit afraid of you. It's all sin. It's all not like Jesus wants us to be. We need to kill it. It might just be, well, I don't really love. I love myself more. It's sin. It needs to die. We don't need to pet it and stroke it and train it to not attack us when we put our hand in. And then we go, wow, I'm doing well. No. It's a snake. It needs to die. Okay. And the Bible says, put to death by the Spirit of God every bit of flesh. And that we can do it by the Spirit of God. And how do I do that? Well, when sin comes into my life, I repent. I say, God, I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to say, well, you know what they did to me, and therefore I don't have to be kind to them. You know what, you know, I don't have to say that. I can say, God, forgive me. I repent for what I've done wrong. I repent for not loving. I repent for not reflecting you, Jesus. I repent for not being like you. And now, Jesus, I put that to death. Help me to put it to death right now in Jesus' name. And there's something powerful that takes place because Jesus died for us and our sin gets crucified to a cross and it's over and it's gone. And sometimes we got to do that again and again because we live in these bodies that still have flesh lurking inside of us. But we need to put it to death by the Spirit of God and say, Jesus, you've set me free. And what we must be careful of is just talking about it. We live in a day and age where it's just chat about it, talk about it, and maybe you'll get over it. And then the third thing we must do. So the first thing Jesus does, the second thing we need to put to death flesh or sin. And the third thing is that we need to put something on. We need to clothe ourselves with something, okay? Where's mine? Oh, there it is. Oh, it's already a bit dirty. Okay. Oh, no, that's not it. Where is my jacket, Lonnie? Oh, there it is. Okay. So let's just read from verse 12. From verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So verse 11 is the picture of heaven. It's no differences. We're all together. Verse 11 is what we talked about. But then verse 12, and then, you know, before verse 11, it says you must put to death. But then after verse 11, it says you need to put something on as well. Okay, so I've got my one jacket that I own. It does look all right. Okay, so this is weddings, funerals, anything, okay? Bishop Mpolo, can you please stand with me? Because you are just going to be such a better illustration than me. Yeah. Yeah, lame attempt, okay. This is where one day when I grow up, I might have a suit like this, okay? And be able to wear it and pull it off as well as this. Now, it says we must put something on. When we give our lives to Jesus, we start putting on different clothes. The clothes we put on is compassion, kindness, love. And we've got to physically do it. It doesn't always just happen automatically. We got to, in the morning when we spend time with Jesus, we put this stuff on. We say, Jesus, clothe me with love. I do this all the time. Almost every morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I start praying and I say, Jesus, please help me today. I want to reflect you. I want to be like you. I want to think like you. And then I'm usually immediately tested on it because there's four children and there's a lot to do and there's, you know, whatever. But I know I need to pray that. I need to put something on. Humility, I'm not the best. Others are more important than me. Kindness, I'm going to go out of my way to actually show kindness. And it says, all of these things are bound up by love. All of these things are bound up. Now, when I'm dressed like this, okay, I'm not going to say like this. When I'm dressed like this, if I had to say, okay, you know, we're gonna do some WWF wrestling. You know, we're going to do some wrestling, or we're going to have a boxing match, okay? Bishop Mpolo is going to go, I can't box right now. I mean, he might be a brilliant boxer. I don't know. I haven't asked that, you know. You might be a great boxer. You know, and he might be so good that he won't even get his clothes dirty. I don't know. But generally, if you're going to go boxing, you're not going to wear this. Because when you put certain clothes on, you don't want to do that stuff anymore. You want to act like you're wearing. You want to, you know, people say dress for success. If you want to get a job, dress like you're going to get that job. You know, that's something that they would say in the world, you know. But there's truth in it. When you put something on, when you put Jesus on and his nature, you don't want to act like you used to. You're not going to go run a marathon like this. You're not going to go do, you know, certain sports. You're not going to go rolling in the mud. You're going to be careful. Look at those shoes. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? You're going to be careful where you walk. You're going to be careful where you go because you've dressed up for it. And Jesus says, we're getting dressed for a wedding, man. So now we're talking about a wedding that we're going to go to where we are part of it. We're the bride. When my wife was dressed up in her wedding gown, well, maybe not. She's not a great example because she doesn't actually mind doing things in her wedding gown. So, but, you know, most brides would be very particular to not tear it, not rip it, not get it messed on because this is their wedding day. And Jesus says we need to put it on and get dressed like that. Thank you so much. Okay. So it's a very simple thing that I'm saying to us today. We need to put something to death. We need to put something on. And yes, it's so that we can have a relationship with him, but it's also so that we can have a relationship with one another. And we can walk across the room and actually go and love someone and represent Jesus to others in everything we do. We represent him. We represent him. We take him and we say, it's like he's present here in me and I'm acting like him. And I'm going to overlook faults. I'm going to look past grievances that I might have. I'm going to be patient. That's a big one, guys. Hey, love is patient. First on the list. That is huge. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be slow to anger. And I'm going to look at others as more important than myself. And then let's just read the rest of the scripture. And I'm going to forgive. And then it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as one, members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach. And so we are supposed to teach and admonish each other. We're not just keeping the peace here and trying to be nice. We are supposed to teach. We are supposed to warn and caution and correct one another with all wisdom. But while we do that, we're also singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. And listen to this, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Cool. I want to hand over to Bishop Mpolo. You can come up, please. And you can share with us what is on your heart. And then after that, we are going to probably have the choir come up. Okay, but thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I would like to greet all pastors and the whole congregation here. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, my name is Fikile. Johannes, you hear me? Johannes Mpolo. Hallelujah. If you drive Polo car, you just put M before the first year. Easy, say name. Some, when they call it, they say Mapolo, no Mpolo. Amen. I thank this opportunity that being invited here as we Ryan and Pastor Mike and Pastor Andrew. Amen. Yeah, we meet in the 412. Yeah, when I started to see them, I was asking myself, how long we will meet like this? Because some of the meetings you can meet with the people, as my brother preached now here, but later on you find that it's not working. You ask yourself, such a waste of time to come together. We thought that we are just proclaiming heaven, but later on we find ourselves, wow, it's not working. But praise God. From the time I meet with them in the 412 till now, I can see that it's working. Amen. I want to tell you it works. It's working. Amen. Yeah, special for the last year conference. To me, I'm somebody, I've been saved in 1977. I was a young man. I was a darker smoking young man, drunker, fighter. As you said at the boxing, I've been saved, I was a boxer. Yes, you are right, you are prophesying. Yes. Sometimes if I fight, I will forget even my knife, because I used to go with my knife. I forget because I was quick and quick. After I finished to beat somebody fall down, is where I started to remember when the people have stopped us. Hey, why I didn't take my okapi and kill this? You see? But Jesus saved me by that time as a young man. From that year till today, I'm carrying on with the Lord. I'm carrying strong every day. Amen. We thank the Lord for that. I'm not alone. I'm with my church from Philippi, the Church of God from Philippi. Amen. I would like my wife to stand up, this beautiful lady. I'm here with my wife, Agostina Mpolo, and I've got three children. They are four now with my granddaughter. Yes. I will ask all my children to stand up and we can see them. Esther, Ruth, Stephen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not alone. I'm with my pastor, Pastor George. He is from Mozambique. Hallelujah. This young pastor. Hallelujah. I have church elders. I would like them to stand up. Church elders. Yes. Wow. There they are. Thank you very much. Yes, we have women's leaders also here. Where's Bangapagama? Nazgalabobo Mama. Leaders Zo Mama. They are not here, all of them, but we have got Mama Julie. Amen. And youth leaders. Wow. Okay, the girls leaders. Wow. Thank you. Children's ministry leaders. We are so organized. Amen. Yes, we have our members of the church. They can stand, all of them. All the members of the church. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Yes, we've been so prepared to come here today to meet with you. I'm happy because I'm not here. I'm not a stranger because the conference has helped me. 412 has helped me because the way we meet, it was amazing. I want to tell you, when we meet as a 412, we can see something bigger. Now, sometimes people will see them, somebody, you feel that I don't have a place here. But them, they are so humble, even to make us to feel free. Amen. Yes, we have got a good people here in this church. Good people, I'm telling you. Pastor Andrew, good man of God, powerful man of God. The man with the glory of God. I've seen him in the conference when he preached, and I look at those thousands of people. I say, his body, small body. I thought that maybe when you are there, you'll think it will come somebody tall, big man, followed by this big number of the people. But when I look at him, I say, whoo, this is what the Lord wants us to do. You have a good pastor. Don't leave him. That man will lead you. You will reach heaven. Let me repeat it. I'm serious about this. You know, these days, the people, they don't want to follow fully. They are following, but no trust. They are coming. No. Just be yourself. Tell you, if anything's harming me, let it harm me in the house of the Lord. But I will wake up and carry on. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. We have a Pastor Mike. He's a man, key man, from Canada. Yes, when he arrived in South Africa, saw him in us in all the meetings, special for that Hope Africa. I asked myself, this man is going to last for this African people. We as African people, sometimes we can abuse you. Yes, I want to tell you the truth. Abuse you. If your heart is open, we can just climb on top of you. But praise God, this man is still standing. And that man is bringing us together. Hallelujah. I know now why God sent him here. He sent him here to come and bring us together. We can be one church in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Mike, and your wife and your children. We want you in South Africa. You are South African. Okay. Because of this, I would like a little bit to hear a little bit the echo of Africa. Why I say this, I will ask my son to help me to interpret. And I can carry on quicker. I can have a short time. He can just come and interpret for me. Yeah, quick. We can. You know, if we talk about the church, if we talk, umasitheta ngebandla, sitheta ngomzimba kaChrist. Umzimba kaChrist ke uphiwe izixhobo.
Christ has been given
the weapons.
Yeah.
Amen.
Ayingomzimba nje ohambayo nje. It's not just the body to walk around.
My brother betheta la ebonisa ngale nantsika le snake.
As my brother here was illustrating with the snake.
Lokho kukubonisa ukuthi ibandla kufuneka lihambe kanjani.
That is how the church is supposed to walk.
Ibandla likaChrist is not just into nje ekhoya abantu abaninje.
The church of God is not just gathering here as
but
people.
Ibandla ngabantu abajonge yonke into abayinikwe ukuze bayenze.
But the church of God is people who are well concentrated to what God has given unto them.
Ukuze bayenze lento abayiphiwe.
And to fulfill it.
Once kukhona umuntu oshumayela kuwe.
When somebody preach upon you.
Kufuneka lo muntu ume umjonge.
You have to stand firm and look at the person.
And umlandele lo
muntu. Follow that person.
Ngoba lo muntu ubekwe nguThixo ukuze abe ngumlomo kaThixo.
He has been sent by God to be the mouth of God
ukuze
to your life.
Kulunge abantu uThixo ababizayo.
And people to be able to repent.
Yeah, apha uma sifunda lapha kule incwadi kwaba se Ephesians 4 verse 10 up to 17.
If we read the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10 to verse 17.
Ndizacela nje sifundele msinyane kakhona.
We will read it first. Christ was sent to us. He had to leave something behind. As people, we will be able to know what is our mandate. When Christ given us the mandate, we had to have a stand to stand on and be able to work. He did not come to this world and he walked,
but
ascended. But when he left the earth, he ascended to heaven. He left us something to carry on.
Okay, can you read it for us quickly?
In the book of Ephesians chapter
4, verse 10 up to 17. We'll just read. I will highlight a few things. So highlight the present matter.
Technology.
Okay, let me carry on because my because of
chapter
my
4, verse 17, verse 10 to 17. It goes like this. He who descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself appointed some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Verse 12, to fully equip and perfect the saints for the works of the service, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach oneness in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, to become mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer children, tossed back and forth, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning and tricky of men, by deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, and when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself. Verse 17. So this I say solemnly, affirm together with the Lord, that you may no longer live as a Gentile life in futility of their minds. Yes. Where we read, we read about the one descendant. He's the same one ascended high. The one who's ascended. He's the one who gives people gifts. As we are seated here, everyone has a gift. But if we are not serious, we will struggle as a church while we have the weapons of gift. We'll be like somebody who wants to knock off the bolt of the size 10.
But size 10
maybe he has got a spanner size 10, but it's far, he cannot see. All he needed to do is to look for it and reach unto the spanner and then use it.
But
you're looking all around because you do not have the right spanner to unlock the boat.
The fivefold ministry,
it has made for us as a church in order to be used in the church, in order to work in the church of God, help one another as brethren. Let no one lack. Let no one suffer. Let no one say, I do not know. When I come with my gift,
Brother Steve,
and Steve comes with his own gift, I boost him. He boosts me as well. We work together to make the work of Christ to be easier on us.
Amen.
So that the devil cannot have any door to come through. But when I do not use my gift from God, he will suffer alone. Maybe all the bolts that he is able as a spanner will be able to knock them off. But the bolt that's supposed to be used, my spanner, he won't be able to use him because he doesn't fit to that bolt. It might take him years suffering, having the right spanner that can use. But I cannot be able to use mine. He will suffer then. And then he questioned himself, why am I suffering?
No, it is that kukhona umuntu one ophethe ispana okufuneka khulule some of the bolts as his size.
The reason you are suffering it is because there is somebody that's supposed to do that duty that you are working on. Everyone who's called by Christ, he gives him the gift.
Not
to have a pride, but to fulfill in the church of God.
Amen.
Each one of us
will.
If I do not use my gift, the church of God will suffer. Those who will come into the church, they will not feel free in the church. Because there are things that we are supposed to do with our gifts and yet we are not using them. Those who come through, they come through and then when they are in, they find that it's very difficult to gel into church.
But you know, I say,
they'll end up saying, no, this is not working for us.
But yes,
it is working.
This is that too.
The reason not working, people who are inside the church, they are failing to recognize the gift that God has given unto them. And they are not using their gift in order to be easy to the church of God. There are five gifts that Jesus has given. The apostles.
Pastor Andrew.
We can talk about Pastor Andrew. He can send him anywhere he can work. He's an apostle. Even if you can place him under the water, if there is a chance for him to speak out, he will speak and there will be people rising up.
Amen.
No one stops him. He cannot leave behind. He has a heart for the church. He cannot say, I am a quitter. God has entrusted him with that gift.
Prophet.
Then there will be a prophet. Those ones, they make the church to be always be ready. The church being well aware of what is happening, not to be find themselves in the danger.
And
the prophets as well, they give a church eyes to see. When the church has a prophet, the church cannot walk around as if they are blind. The prophets are able to hear the spirits that are coming through. If they are not the spirit of God. The prophets are not people who like to show off.
But
there are people who are humble and recognize that they are in the work of God.
Amen.
When they're in the church, they are like the church of Antioch. When the prophets are in the church, Holy Spirit speaks now and then in that church. Because these people, they recognize their gift and they continue to speak into the church.
Amen.
Then there will be evangelists. The evangelists are like the inspectors. When they come to the church,
back to the cross.
They take you back to the cross.
Foundation.
They take you back to the
foundation. And they are going to shake you in the foundation.
They
are going to make sure that you are in the foundation. And
they deal most of the time with the sin. As my brother was saying, when they come through, people, they confess their sins. As a pastor leading that church, you might, when the evangelist is in the church, you might find yourself as a small person.
I am a pastor of this church.
But
these people, they never confess.
No, confess.
There
is a man that came through that he molds the church.
Amen.
Then there will be the teachers.
They're the
pastors that they look after the shepherd. They look after the flock. They always teach about everything that the church needs to do. And then things happen to the church. Then we have the shepherds. The shepherds, they look after the flock that they may not go outside. When they see the brethren are no longer coming to church, they go out to visit them and find out why they are no longer coming to church. And And all these fivefold ministries are in the church. It is for the building of the church.
Amen.
Equipping for the church. That's a ministry that Jesus gave unto us. Then there are gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Those gifts are given by the Spirit. The gift of miracles.
Amen.
The gift of working into the church. When we are hosting conferences, there are people who give themselves to work in the church to prepare. They don't need you to tell them.
But
the Spirit inside them speaks to them. It says, now it is the time.
You need to do something now.
Something.
Amen.
You will see that those people with that spirit, they will not sit down. They are always busy waking
around.
If only they understand the gift of the Spirit, then there are fruits of the Spirit.
Amen. So that is fumana lezi ke iziphozi kamoya kwaba se 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 3 up to verse 10.
I'm just highlighting the gift of the Spirit. You find them in the first book of Corinthians, first letter of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 3 to 10. The fruits are the things that when we are sitting, we are able to cramp from you.
Amen. As Ryan was speaking,
I was
feeling like I'm eating nice fruits. Hallelujah.
He gives the testimony. When you give a testimony, we are getting something from
you.
The fruits of love. Being patient.
Yes. Amen. Sometimes you told Kuti it's difficult for you in the church. Things are coming to you. Harming you. But because you have got the fruits of patience,
with your patience, we are able to grasp something from you.
But somebody is burning here.
But during that time we are eating that, you are burning.
Amen. But Tina.
But us as a church, we are able to grasp something from
Amen.
You.
Amen. The fruits,
those are the fruits.
As a fruit,
those fruits you get them in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. Each and everyone who's in the church is supposed to carry these fruits.
Once
when we are like that, the Spirit won't be able to go through into the church. There won't be a distraction to that church. When the winter comes and the summer comes, when the storms come, whatever comes, that church will not be shaken. They will stand still and continue with the work of God.
Amen.
And be like the church of Antioch. In the book in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. Where the Holy Spirit will start speaking. When the Holy Spirit speaks, each one is inside. They are able to discern that this is the Spirit of God speaking now. When they are home, at work, at school,
something there
is something inside them that speaks.
Maybe in the next Sunday,
everyone is in hurry to come to the church of God to hear what the Holy Spirit will say. That's how the church grows. And we grew up like that
around 70s, 80s,
during the time of 70s and 80s.
Every Sunday, you see, as is in Goba, sizo clock, but sizangoba, something tiku kona skaleleo.
We don't come to church because we are just coming to church for registration that people they may see we are at church, but we come in there to hear the Holy Spirit speaks to us.
Amen.
If we can stay as a church of God in the fivefold ministry, and the spirit the gift of the spirit, and we're able to sit in the fruits of the spirit, as we're gathered here,
the devil can do us no harm.
Hallelujah.
He will come. Because he tries all the time.
But he will fail.
Because we are standing together.
Because we
as
we are here as we belong to you. You belong to us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Yeah.
In conclusion.
New voice assemblies of God.
Our church is New Voice Assemblies of God.
Amen. Assemblies of God says getting cool.
We know that Assemblies of God it's a big church.
But less is Sandra, Jesse Velenge.
But we are part of the Assemblies of God.
Amen. New Voice in the established in 2004.
A New Voice Church established in 2004.
Amen.
And it's continuing to go forward.
Amen.
We always look for people that we can link work with. We are so blessed that now we'll be able to work with you guys.
Amen.
Because through 412.
Hallelujah.
We feel it that we are at home.
Amen.
We feel that we are at home. We are welcomed at home. And the warm welcome that we received as we were coming in, made us to feel at home as well.
Yeah, we are sometimes
we would wish, and I know that they spoke that there will be a time you guys will visit us in our church as well.
Amen. Thank you, my brother, for the songs.
Thank you, musician, for the song.
I look at you when you sing that Xhosa song. I thought that you will go, but I find that it is a Xhosa. Amen. Hallelujah. Sibonga kakhulu. Silibandla ke elikhulayo.
We are the church that grows.
Siphaya Philippi.
We are established in Philippi.
Siyenza zonke izinto pha.
We do everything there.
Amen. Inkosi isikelele kakhulu.
God has blessed us.
Ukuthi sibe kulanda.
To be in that place. Continue praying for us. That we may find ourselves lacking.
But
we should be the church that goes up.
Amen.
That grows. We have another branch in Lesotho. We have another church in Mozambique.
Amen.
Those are our branches, Mozambique and Lesotho.
Amen.
We request that you continue to pray for us. It is not easy to do the work of God. There are a lot of challenges that we meet up.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
We are grateful. That was a message that the Lord laid in my heart. That as a church, let us continue. We should stop looking around. Let us focus to the work of God. Let us focus to the man of God.
Sometimes,
when we work sometimes, it might seem like we are not working well. We need as a church to tell ourselves that we know it's an enemy that makes us to look at our pastors or our leaders as if they are just the people.
But must focus.
But when we focus, at the later stage, we will rejoice.
We
will say it is.
I will be happy the day again when I'm coming here.
I will be Maybe after 20 years.
I will ask that day. The day when I was here, how many those they've been that day when I was here? I saw the whole city.
The whole church coming, standing up.
I will not ask other people to clap their hands for you. I will ask Jesus,
angels, Holy Spirit,
God himself, myself, we clap the hands for you. Amen.
Amen.
We love you guys. Hallelujah. I think we are the first church from the township to come. Or? Yeah, big church, yeah. Oh, can you clap the hands for us? I'm so excited.
Amen.
God bless.
May the Lord bless you.
Thank you. Wonderful, eh? Oh, isn't that beautiful? Yeah, I love that. We didn't plan, obviously, what we're speaking, but I love the way that God just says, hey, there's gifts that we need to use together, and we need to all do it with the fruit of the Spirit, with love and tender-hearted and forgiving and all those things. So he's doing something beautiful, hey? He's really doing something beautiful. What you don't know, Bishop and Paula, is that on Friday night, we had a big leaders meeting with all our leaders from across the city in Sunningdale, about 600-700 of our leaders together. And Andrew spoke on this, on the gifts, that if God has given you a gift, we must prove faithful with that gift. We can't just say, I don't want to use it anymore. We need to put it to work, you know. So I just felt, even as you were speaking, I was like, wow, it's really confirmation, I think, for us even. Just God wants us to take what we've got and use it, you know. So, yeah. Amen.